Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit in creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today we have a very special guest. Her name is Linda Roche. She is an intuitive artist and creative coach who believes that art has the power to transform lives and the world. Trailblazing entrepreneurs and creative business leaders rely on Linda's powerful process to unlock their creativity and vision so they can dream bigger and step fully into their divine purpose with clarity and joy. There's more I could say, but I want to bring Linda to the stage first. All right, I'll do the rest. Her signature five-step methodology accesses the healing power of creative expression to help clients cultivate clarity, wisdom, love, and beauty. Mm-hmm. Whether working one-on-one in community, Linda invites clients to listen deeply, play freely, and bring their soulful visions to life. Welcome.
Thank you.
So I happen to know personally because I've been working with Linda as we met, and then we just continued talking, and she's been helping me drastically. So it's awesome. Drastically in a good way.
Good.
From the dark side back to the light and over again. So thank you, Linda, for that gift that you've given me.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. So I happen to know that Linda was not always trailblazing this way. She was not always an intuitive artist. She was in the corporate world, right? Tell me if this is right. When you were young, you loved art and painting, but your parents told you that wasn't going to pay the bills. So you put that aside.
That's
as
right.
Many people have. And you want to tell us that story, how you came back to it? Or is there anything else you want to say about it?
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say that makes me want to cry that we, so many of us have had that experience, right? It makes me emotional. It's so sad. But actually, at the end of the day, I'm really happy my mom did that. She's like, don't study art. There's no money in that. And I studied communication arts, which has really come full circle with the work that I do today. And one of the blessings of not studying art and not pursuing that is I don't have baggage about how it has to be or the right way to do something, which, believe me, is, you know, something I can get really hooked up in. And so I just, it has given me creative freedom to express myself in a way that is unconcerned about whether I'm doing it right and what anybody else thinks, because it's coming from my heart. And so that's what I want to say.
So you think, obviously, you don't know because you didn't do it. But if you had gone to art school, there might have been like a right way and you would have gotten locked into living within that box. But now you're free to do whatever because you don't have that. Is that what you're, am I reading too much into that?
No, I think you're right. I mean, for me, that's true. I can't speak for anybody else. I do remember when I took piano lessons as a child, I loved creating, just playing by heart. And then I had to learn notation. And it was like, I suddenly, all the love, all the, everything went, the wind came out of my sails. So there's something about just being free to create, to express. That's just so, in fact, that's what the painting back here is, free. Like, this is the ultimate that, you know, I believe is what it's about.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And your shirt also, right, is one of your creations?
It is. This is another one.
Yeah. So Linda puts her art on clothing. Mm-hmm. And it's just beautiful. It's so clean and colorful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. And there's more behind that painting, but we're going to.
Much more.
We're going to. Yeah. So, okay. So there you were. So you went to communication arts, okay, and then you got into the corporate world, right? Anything else about your childhood that you overcame or wanna that's relevant?
I think it is. Thank you for asking. Because this painting does want to be known that the reason it was created was because I was connecting in with my little girl, the one who wanted to be expressed and seen and valued and loved. And her name is Free. And that was the painting that I created as an expression of who she, when I actually learned that was her. That was what it was. I know you had an experience with the little girl, so this is not unfamiliar. So yeah, I learned that that is ultimately the feeling of me just living in my joy as who I am, not worrying about whether I'm getting it right or trying to fit into boxes. So many of the people I work with have that experience of being told how to fit, and it's just so constraining, and it can be really, I think, debilitating in so many ways for our human spirit.
So do you think that happened to you when they told you, even though it came out good and here we are, but do you think that little girl got unfree at some point and then you freed her in the painting?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I let go of having to get it right and to make whatever I created look like something, and release those questions about it, and just be one with the process of creating, then I was free.
And how did you do that? Can you describe it? Because I think we all need that.
I think we do. Yeah. I'll share a quick story. I got back to into painting and actually taking some classes, some oil painting classes. And I was really good at making the waterfall look like the waterfall or whatever. But I didn't enjoy that part of me, that voice that was like, well, did you get that? That doesn't look like that. It was really nitpicky. There's a part of it can be very critical. And I didn't enjoy that. And so I decided, I made a conscious decision. I wasn't going to do that anymore. And I took up a medium I hadn't used before. It was acrylic. And I really just started to paint with no objective, not trying to make it be something, and just seeing what would happen. And that opened up worlds for me.
Wow. I'm just thinking where I could use that in my life, probably everywhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely. To let go of the need to get it right and to unleash our imagination, to have the freedom to just see what happens, to let it get messy, and to find out something that we would never access in another way, most likely.
Well, what's come into mind is when I started doing TikToks, my daughter would, I didn't even know what TikTok was, but she said, if you do four a day, something will happen. So I started doing them. And it was really just, part of getting real. I would just say whatever I needed to say that day. I would do my four and then go on with my day. And whenever, like, she or mostly she, but, would say, well, you're not doing it right. And that's, they're not very good. And, this is what you could do and all this stuff. I would just, I didn't want to do it anymore. But I kept going. And now it's just something that helps me. And people like what they like and they don't, but it's really for me. And when I let go of the right way, because who knows what's right? It's not even an old technology. Do you know what I mean? When I do it for me
Yes.
without the worry,
Yes.
I'm free.
Yes.
And I'm
Yes.
not going to do it the other way. I'm not going to sit there and edit them. I do them in my car, I'm driving
Yeah.
them.
Yeah.
So there's something freeing about not trying to get it right.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you for doing it your
No,
way.
thank you for making for pointing it out. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, and I think if I'm trying something new and I'm free, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, I'm not doing it right. Boom, all the creativity gets shut down. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I know that you stand for creating a life that you love. And if we're getting critical and in that space, it's not something we love. That's a really good sign, you know? And so you've tapped into that, correct the code.
Ah. All right. So there you were. You decided to paint out of the lines. And then what happened? Then what happened? You were still in the corporate world? You were just.
I was.
I mean, did you ever stop painting or did you always paint?
There were years when I didn't, when I was just in my corporate job doing the things, and that fulfilled a creative part of me. It was in marketing communications. So I was working with creative teams and concepting and coming up with strategic solutions to business problems. And I really did enjoy that. If it hadn't been for the creative teams, I don't know if that I would have, right? It's like that was wonderful to see something come to life and to have a representation of a concept of something that we want to convey in a powerful way without, you know, 1,000 words or 10,000 words. So I was enjoying that. But when I took that painting class, it reminded me that I am an artist. I am the artist. And so I claimed my identity. I painted while I was still there. But ultimately, when I left corporate, and I did it because I was trying to be something I was not. I was very successful, making more and more money in corporate, climbing the ladder. But I was doing work that wasn't aligned with who I really am. And I think that takes a deep toll. And for me, combined, I could manage that along with other, you know, avocation things outside of work. But then my mother got sick. She was out of state. I had to care for her. And this, all the demands, I was burnt out. I couldn't show up as a leader anymore. And I ultimately left with an anxiety disorder. So it was kind of the perfect storm.
Oh my God.
And yeah.
No, keep going, and then I'll ask the question.
Okay. So I was thrust into this world of entrepreneurship. I was already on the path, you know, covertly. I had become a health coach, a holistic health coach, and transformational coach, and I was going to build this business in a really powerful way, learning all the ways to do it. And burnt out and overwhelmed by it all. It's demand.
So, what was the part that you weren't aligned with? Because I thought you said you loved the strategic. So, what
I
was the
did.
part?
Yeah. I had the my last role, I had taken a position in a technical capacity, managing a technical communication team.
And that was.
So that was not, no. I mean, the creative part is how do you navigate something that you don't really understand? That's always the communicator's opportunity. It's like it's a work of art in itself, you know. It's like but in a in a, an environment where there was so much technical data, it was just not my forte.
Okay. So
So
what caused the anxiety disorder? That the technology part, like what ca did you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. So what caused the anxiety? That part?
It was that combined with the demands of caring for my mother.
Right. She was out of state,
It's
so.
out of state. It was incredibly demanding physically, emotionally, and I still had this team to manage. I had a leadership position to hold up. I know a lot of mothers can kind of understand this having children, but yeah, it was just too much.
So how did you care for your mother if she was out of state? Or was that was the problem?
I found myself I found myself driving 12 hours on the weekends just to get there and go back, and you know, sizing up the situation, making decisions, settling her in, all the things, managing her care. And then when I returned home, going right back into my job, here I am, you know, I've got it all together, but I was exhausted. And then getting calls, you know, randomly during the day, you know,
About your mom.
about my mom. This has happened. You know, there's been this decline in her capacity. We need to make some decisions. So it's just a lot.
And did you leave with enough time to be able to be with her?
Oh, yeah, I did. Ultimately, I brought her where I live,
Okay.
and we got to be together. And I was there for her till the end. So that was a blessing.
Yeah. No, it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was really at that time, in that time, in that space, from, you know, leaving corporate, caring for this, that I turned to my art again as a means of really releasing steam, just letting in. There's so many benefits of creating art, which I didn't even know until just recently when I started to study up on them. So much research has come out about that. And so that was part of my healing. And it was part of what helped me see that there were messages coming through my art, whether it was, you know, creating something with colored markers or with paint. It was very clearly saying.
Like what?
Something I needed to know. I should have had it right here in front of me, but
no, 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 it's fine. It's fine. I'm just curious. How does that work?
So at one point I was just doodling and I was creating this, a heart. A heart was coming out and it kind of looked like it had stitching around the edges. It was just like this outline of a heart and it was being stitched up clearly. And there was a message that just came through, you know, kind of like when people are writing their tapping into something.
Yeah.
Got written down with my pen, and the message was, and it, I wrote it, listen to me. So my heart that was being stitched up was saying, listen to me. That's how I felt too. I'm like, oh my gosh, could you get more clear? And that was the beginning. That was really the beginning of realizing, oh my gosh, my art has messages. It's speaking to me. It's speaking through me.
Just got chills. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. So now, all right. And so, all right. What's another? Do you have another message?
Oh, gosh.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
So you actually painted the words. Like they came out your finger.
Mm-hmm. Wow. They came out my fingertips. Yeah, I have since that time. It was like in early 2010s, you know, 13.
Oh,
I have been painting daily most of the time, regularly, consistently. And every time I started to see that, whether it wasn't in directly language being spelled out, but through the images, that didn't make sense as I was creating them, but I found a way to really just be with what was coming through and allow it to happen. And then it was very clear. The messages were being revealed, like, free here. Like, I didn't set out to create that.
It
came through. Yeah. And it is really one of my core values is freedom. And so it's not surprising that my little girl just wants to be free. Just wants to be free to express who I am, free to be me. Bob Proctor.
You were just doing, going like this and boom, there's free.
Oh yeah. There's lots of layers usually in the course of painting. But yeah, boom, there it was. It's like, oh my gosh, that looks like the word free. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this one that's behind me here, you can see there's a bit of a like curtain. Can you see that? Do I need
what is it
over? It's a curtain.
Oh.
Again, I didn't set out to paint this, but it's message for me as a creator, as someone who is really driven to make a difference in the lives of other people. One of my life lessons has been to not always be serving everyone else, but to serve myself and to step into the spotlight. And this is...
All right. You know what? Let me take myself out so they can see it. All right. Keep talking.
Yeah. So this is the message. Step into the spotlight. And it isn't just to, you know, be in the center stage, but to open dimensions and, you know, forms of expression and to be the channel for, I guess, messages and guidance and inspiration and the ways that I have since learned that painting as a means of expressing oneself and through my method specifically will allow us to connect to a deeper meaning and deeper purpose that we're meaning to serve, and so on and so on.
Wow. So step into center stage. That's amazing.
Step into the spotlight.
Oh, into the spotlight. Yeah. That is so cool. Yeah. Wow.
At the same time, this piece was reinforcing it. Hey.
Oh my God.
It's art.
And those words just appeared.
Just appeared.
Wow.
Oops, gotta go this way. There we go.
Yeah.
So it's all about that. That's the way that I'm going to make a difference was really what it wanted me to know. This is the way, Linda.
Wow.
So I've since embraced that. And it's really clear that this is my purpose, to share this form of expression in the world in the way that my art comes through me, and also to help others tap into their way of connecting to that.
That is so cool. Okay, so there you were painting. Now, when did you leave corporate? You said that first painting was around 2010. When did you leave? Or when was your mom sick?
Yeah, I actually left in 2013.
13, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So then, I think most people, they have a dream, and I don't know if you want to answer this, but I always think, well, how are you going to pay your bills? That's what I'm afraid of. But I think what you've said is it's always been okay, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I learned immediately. I was really blessed to learn that through expressing who I really am, that it's easy to make money being me. And I have found that when I am not, when I am doubting, when I'm second guessing, when I'm like, oh, I can't do that, I really should do this instead, and I'm not following that guidance, and this is why painting has become so important to keep me grounded and connected to this is my vision. This is my path. It's revealing next steps so frequently. It's part of what the Linda Rush method has been created to help others do, because it's easy to get lost. It's easy to get lost in all the how-tos and everyone telling us the ways that we should do it, and to lose ourselves. And what's important in that passion and that vision are what create that connection and ultimately keep us on path to what is ours uniquely to bring into the world and to express, and the difference we're here to make.
Wow. So how did you go from painting to the Linda Rush method? Did it evolve over time?
Mm-hmm. I met a mutual person in our world, Hillary. Yes.
Are we connected? Yeah.
And she kind of started it by saying, hey, how are you doing this? Like, everybody needs to know about this. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm just doing this for my own benefit. Like, I do everything for everyone else. I need this. And now I make it about other people.
Yeah. And what was this? So just what you said.
The art. Yeah. How am I doing
the messaging?
Any of this, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Okay.
And I was kind of annoyed. But then, because I also had this desire to increase my visibility and ultimately, to my prosperity as an artist, I started to share on, social media and go live and share my painting process. And a friend saw me, a brilliant marketing internet technologist who said, hey, this is amazing. I'm so impressed. Everyone needs to know about this. Let me help you. I'll bring your genius in this creativity realm, and I'll bring the tech and the marketing. And so that's what's happened. I had people, the universe conspiring to say, hey, this is the way you're going to make a difference now. And that's how it has come to life. It's been years now in the making, and it's coming to the world.
So is the, you could say as much as you want, but the method is helping others find their way through painting?
Yes. Yes, it happens that that painting is the means. It could be other forms of communication. I have a one person in my mastermind right now who is a poet, hadn't really fully embraced that, always had created poetry, but now is clearly, I'm a poet and this is what I'm here to do, and is creating a book and is getting her work out into the world, and it's brilliant. So the process works, no matter what means is being used, but I really love painting, and I believe that this is a liberating pathway.
And how did you decide to help business people?
Because of my own personal experience, Hillary, because of what I experienced, being overwhelmed, and just the stress of being an entrepreneur. There's just so much. So it's easy to, again, get lost in all the gurus' voices and lose our own path. And because of what I've experienced and the way that I have found my way through the work that I've done, but also through with the means of painting, that's why I have chosen it.
So, okay, I'm just thinking. So you were painting and you had these messages, and how did you know that it would work for others, or did you just experiment with it?
Great
You
question.
know?
Yeah. Well, almost immediately I started sharing it. I started to offer workshops for people to connect to their intuition and their inner guidance. I hosted workshops outside the home, inside the home here, and I started to see what happened for people. Suddenly someone would think that they were always less than, and they were like, "Wait a minute. No, that's not true. Look, I'm amazing." Like, this blew me away. I actually got a call from someone on the way home from one of the workshops saying, "I used to think I was never enough, but now I know that's not true." So this
And that
confidence,
happened through painting.
it happened through painting, but it's also the combination of other processes that I bring to,
Oh, okay.
So as a coach and a consultant, I have a lot of tools in my toolbox to help
Okay.
guide people to themselves, and that's part of it.
So it's not just the painting. Okay.
Right,
All of
right,
it.
right.
All of it. Yeah.
All of it, yes.
So the method is more than just painting. It's, I know, and I've experienced some of it, and it's like, oh my God, right? We went back to my little girl, right?
And what did you learn?
Yeah, well, all right, can I tell the story? So I was doing this exercise in another course, and we went back to our little selves, and oh, it was about love. It was love day. We had these seven sacred states, and so it was love. And I went back to my little girl, and I was like, I don't love her. Just didn't love her. I was ashamed. It was third grade. I had my hair cut short. They thought I was a boy. I had buck teeth. My parents wanted me to get braces, and they also wanted me to lose weight. So I was like ashamed. I thought she wasn't okay. So when I did the exercise with Linda, we would happen to be talking, and I was like, I just have this thing. And I was also feeling guilty about work that I had to be good. So it all tied in. Thought I had to be a good girl, whatever. So when I went back, Linda did this exercise where I went and talked to my little person, myself, but she was someone else. She was like, look, I'm fine. You're the one who took on other people's values and judgments and decided you needed to be fixed. I was just living my life, having a good old time. You're the one who became a victim and decided you had a bad life and wasn't okay the way you are. So, it's your problem. And I was like, wow, look at her. She was cool. I'm the one with the problem. I'm the one with the problem. So anyway, I just got to see, wow, by living in other people's ideas of how I should be, I really got, it's my show, I can say, fucked up. Like for real. And it really was very freeing. So thank you to Linda. That was just one thing. It wasn't even planned, and we did it, you know. So
yeah, and she had a purity about her. She and you, that you pick all the things you're doing, you're narrating it now, but her purity was like, I'm fine. And she was fine with you. She's and she wasn't judging you. You're like, oh wow. Like it was just apparent to you. She didn't have to tell you.
Yeah, and I had this whole story. Yeah, I had this whole story that I had to be fifth and I wasn't okay. And she didn't have any of it. And I'm like, she was just free, like getting real. She's real. I'm the one have to get real because I wasn't real, right?
That's right. That's right. You just had to remember yeah. the real Hillary yeah. and how amazing she is. Yeah.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. oof. Yeah. So that was just one little piece that I did with Linda. We've done stuff all the time. And it's very, very freeing. Like you know, I could never have come up with that myself. No. Never, never. I could never have done that. I didn't even know it existed. So yeah, really gave me a new life. So whenever I get on my case about, you know, my wrinkles or my fat or I'm not the weight I should be, it's like, hey, whose value is that? It's not mine.
Right.
Someone told me that, not me, not the world. It's not the truth in the world. It's just something that I took on to slap myself again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that initial painting was that drawing, psst, listen to me, is really the through line here. It's like, listen to your heart and let's just stitch that up. You're beautiful. You're amazing. You're so unique and so talented and so creative and so brilliant. Especially as we allow ourselves to be.
Mm. Wow. Okay. So on that note, we're going to go have a word from our sponsor, and we're going to be right back with more from Linda and the Linda Roche Method. All right. See you in a minute.
Okay.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. K-I-K-O-R-I.
Hey, it's Hillary from Getting Real with Hillary. I want to share something really powerful with you today. Jerry Dale was deep in the music industry, providing girls, drug, and gambling opportunities, all while justifying it as making a living for his family. He questioned his path, but then God turned his life completely around. Now Jerry's on a mission to redeem and help others find their way back from the dark side. Jerry's book, Music, Porn, and Jesus, A Journey to Redemption, is his raw, real-life memoir of how God rescued him from the music industry, the porn world, and his own rebellion. It's not just a story. It's a testimony of grace, hope, and freedom. Visit IamJerryDale.com to get your copy and join a movement of redemption. If God can do it for Jerry, he can do it for you too. Hey, it's Hillary from the Getting Real with Hillary show. Life can be messy, raw, and real. And sometimes we're afraid to feel vulnerable. We're afraid to be that real self. Well, that's exactly what the Getting Real with Hillary show and Getting Real movement is all about. Being our true selves. Every week, I bring you stories of transformation, authenticity, and hope. People getting real with their struggles, their faith, and their breakthroughs. So don't miss a thing. Subscribe to my weekly newsletter today. You'll get stories, links to everything new, and how to create a life you love every week directly to your inbox. You can also find my books on Amazon. My courageous and riveting memoir, The Second Piece of French Toast, In Case You Feel Stuck in Your Life, and want to get inspired. How I came out about my no sex life and my marriage in my second book, Real Talk, That one will get you speaking up in ways you've been too afraid to do so, and really creating amazing freedom. And my third book, How to Stop Fixing Yourself and Start Having Fun, the name is called Your Bullshit is Your Blessing. Find links to everything and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Getting Real with Hillary, and you'll find the links in the header. So visit, and you can also visit gettingrealwithhillary.com, because the real you is worth it and wants to come out. And thank you, as always, to our sponsors, KrikoriApp.com. We have Jerry Dale, who helps people find redemption when they've gone over to the dark side. And we have Ed Hagem and his books. And then, of course, my books, as always. But I'm not going to go into them and explain more. I'm just going to thank all of our sponsors for their support and for helping us elevate the conversation and consciousness of the planet. And now I'm going to bring back Linda, who's also doing that in her very own special way with the Linda Rosh Method. So before we forget, and I know we'll say it at the end, but how do they find you? Someone wanted to learn more and reach out to you, and we'll say it again at the end, and we'll have it in the notes, but go ahead.
Right. They should visit Linda Rosh.
Okay.
LindaRasch. .com. I'll say it again. Linda, LINDA, Rosh, RASCH.com.
Okay. And it'll be in the notes, and it'll also be right under your face there. So they'll be able to find it easily. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So you found your paintings, and then your person said he'll help you. And then what happened?
I went on a journey of discovery. You know, I think this is why, when we talk about you are brilliant, you are unique, you just had forgotten from other people's expectations, stories, all the things piled on. But it's also the matter of unconscious competence, what we do naturally that we don't see for ourselves, because it's just like breath, right? So in so many ways, this process was like breath. I had to really slow down time and notice what was I doing, and create, you know, codify what I was noticing every time I showed up at the easel to paint, and to break that down. So there's five practices, each with five simple steps, elegant steps. It's simple in that it makes it accessible and understandable. Over the last numbers of years, I've been doing that work and really saying, okay, yeah, how does that work? And creating the overviews, the descriptions, the guidance on what each of the practices, and what is it involved, and how does that work, and what kind of questions do people have about that, and can I demonstrate that? Yeah, let's demonstrate it at work. You know, all the paintings that I was talking about, each of the practices has a, what I call a practice portrait, where I show, it's a portrait of the practice, the way that practice wants to be known and seen and visualized and expressed in the world. So it's a way of making tangible something that's kind of an abstract mental practice. And it just helps codify and strengthen understanding. So I've been doing that, and breaking it down, looking at it from lots of perspectives. Anyone's written a book, created their own course, you know what I'm talking about. Something that you do well that you're like, okay, now I have to put this in the words. Like, I have words for this. Okay.
And how could you do that? I mean, it sounds like it's an intuitive process. So it must have been really hard to put it down.
Well, my friend is brilliant. I mean, I'm so, so blessed. Asking the right questions, giving me assignments to do that work, that discovery, that explanation, the codification. So I couldn't have done it without him.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
So blessed. And it's an example again of how my desire, what was on my heart. I always say, when your heart speaks, take good notes. We think that's some trite cliche. Now, that painting I did, you know, the drawing codified that, but this is an example. I knew I wanted to get my work out into the world in a bigger way as an artist, increase my visibility, everything that comes with that, my impact, to create that ripple of love. And this person showed up.
Wow.
To help me get going.
And what is your vision for, like, let's say the Linda Rush method? Usually I would ask this at the end, but I'm just curious that if the Linda Rush method got out wildly, what would be your vision for the world?
I'm so tempted to just pull out a painting.
What?
Because I asked a painting. I was like, okay, what happens in the world, you know, when people connect to that? Oh, and I can see that I was sloppy with another painting process, and I have paint sprayed on here, which is really fun because obviously that was meant to be here too. I don't know if you can see these or bats. It's like, wow, okay. Those came out of another painting, that painting's significant, so it's not a surprise that those are there. But this is what my course, what it wants to be in the world, what gets to happen. And I'm curious, like, what you see. I know what it told me, but is it communicating something to you? What happened? What do you think it's saying? And I could bring it in a little closer.
Well, I see. Well, first I saw a flower with hair, and then I saw a lollipop. Uh-huh. And then I kind of see a whirlwind. I don't know. Am I missing it?
You know, this is the thing. It's always what's apparent for you. My art wants to speak for itself. So for you, that's important. This flower.
It's like a little girl. Yeah, it's actually a little girl. Yeah.
And what do we see here? This is what I think is interesting about it.
All right. Wait, come closer. So I don't want to lose your voice.
Oh, okay.
If you can. Right? Yeah. Can you? I don't want the sound to go off.
Do you see these elements here?
Yeah, plant.
Yeah, to me it looks like arms going ta-da.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what is really, it's that expression, that full expression of someone in their business thriving. The plant is flourishing. It's like, you know, I see the hair too. But this is a theme that's been in all of the paintings related to the course. So it's not surprising because we're really going in. We're going into ourselves to get those answers. And we're coming out and it's like, ta-da, here I am. Here I am.
Wow.
And it's a ripple. You know, there's like this radiation of what it is that we're expressing in the world. And so ultimately, when you ask what the course, the impact is, this is what I've been told. And I think it's really apt because it isn't about me. It isn't about this method. It's about you as a practitioner, as someone who's creating a life and a business you love and a vibrant impact. Like, that's what it's about. So what does that require? It requires us to go in to see clearly. There's a lot of symbolism from the other paintings in the course that's connected through it here. But does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah. So in short, though, for me, it's really a ripple of love, right? I'm really here to inspire people to find that portal to themselves and to let that be unleashed in the world. In the way that they're meant to release, to express authentically, powerfully, impactfully.
And what if there's someone who said, you know, I don't really, this isn't for me because I don't want a business or whatever. I mean, I know that it relates to everybody, but what would you say to them?
I would say, you know best. If that's what you feel, then it's not for you. But if this speaks to you and there's something here and you're curious, then you know, let's explore it together and let's see what's here for you, because there's a reason it's resonating and there's also a reason that it's not. And I might also encourage, because this is part of the nature of, you know, this practice as well, is like getting curious about it, especially if there's some kind of charge around it, like, well, this isn't for me. Like, notice the way. You notice the throat clearing? Like, something's getting caught there. You know, it's not one, it's not allowing, it's judging. It's a judging kind of constriction. I just felt it. When I was in corporate, I had like this hairball in my throat. It felt like this giant hairball. And I realized it was because I wasn't expressing myself. I was holding back. It just wouldn't go away. It was like, it was so visceral. And here it is, this little showing up again. To underscore that and bring it home. Yeah.
So, but it seems like let's say I say, well, now I do want to create a second income so I can for retirement, but I don't like there's something about having a business. Mm-hmm. Seems like a lot of work. I don't want one. Blah 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 mm-hmm. blah. But mm-hmm. so there's maybe I have a hairball about it, but do you know what I mean? Like but that picture, it does speak to me about, you know, the ripple of love and just saying ta-da and reaching deep in and finding the portal to that true self. You know what I mean? That is so totally cool. Yeah. So there might be, I would say, we'll call it a hairball.
I love it.
Calling it a business.
Sure.
Because everything I'm doing is entrepreneurial. Everything I'm doing is creating and all that, you know?
Right. Right. I love that you've codified it. Okay. Do you have a hairball around this? Is like, now we're going to say this in the community. And yeah. We attribute it to Hillary. No, I think you're wise. You are recognizing that's feedback for you. And this is part of the noticing, right? We all have all these ways that this shows up. Nobody has to create a business. If it's not part of what you're drawn to do, then please don't do that. But if there's something stirring in you, something that you know that's more, and you think it has something to do with creating a business, and then what this is really, and even if you're not, to be honest, if you're desiring to be more expressed in your life and in the world, then this is a tool for you. It's a path, offers a pathway to the clarity and the vision, which ultimately helps to pave the way forward. And that's the commonality between personal and business. And ultimately, I think when they come together, we can create the business we love. A life we love, because we're not being one person in one context and another and in another context. But that's for each of us to decide, to discover. I really think that being part of this and being part of the community and all of the different ways that I help guide people to themselves, that opens up those worlds. It's like, here's the opening, right? Opening, the expansiveness, right?
Right. So they don't, they could be like at a job, but still want to be opened and expanded. And who knows what would come out of it. They might bring that to their job.
Right.
They don't technically want a business, or am I off the wrong path?
No, absolutely. You're correct. My biggest breakthroughs in this, ultimately, the Linda Rush method is about clarity. Mm-hmm. Clarity about who we are, our essence, what makes us come alive, our vision and ultimate impact, and really allowing that to open up for us. The reason I'm on this path at all is because I started to do that inquiry myself before I even knew I wanted to have a job. What I understood was that I was going to use those marketing and communication skills, combined now with my artistic and intuitive skills and coaching skills to help people improve the health of people and the planet. That's broadly what it's about. I didn't know anything more than that. But it was that clarity that led to the next thing, that led to the next thing. And now I can see it, right? We can't, Steve Jobs said, we can't connect the dots looking forward, but we can, you know, kind of, I see the patterns now.
You know, like, I think, like, let's say I wanted a business. I want a business now, but it's like, for you, it's like, you went here and then you went to the farm and then you went here, you know, like it wasn't a direct path.
Yeah.
And I think I, I'm just going to make up that part of your process is allowing the park to reveal itself, not being in a hurry, not trying to get anywhere, just allowing it to evolve through the process. And that's part of, I don't know, there was some word you used, but it's like revealing itself. Like, we can't rush it.
That's right.
I wouldn't want to rush it. I'm not there yet. Why is it taking so long? You know, and I can't, like, well, forget it then. I'm not doing it, you know, because it should be here by now. But
exactly.
Your path, I mean, you went to the farm, you know, like, you've just been a lot of different places and ended up here. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, those voices about why isn't this happening, those are all critical voices that come in that we begin to notice as we engage with the process. And we start to have a more loving and just noticing observational kind of perspective on it. Oh, wow. Like, okay, yeah. And that just kind of drops off. And it is exactly true. It starts to reveal itself. I like to make up words, and so I call them revelations. Start creating, and then something, the next step will reveal itself. It's like, oh. And sometimes it's not always apparent in the moment. Sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, like that one piece I described. But it's definitely paving the way forward in its own way.
Wow. I like patience. Patience. There should be a song about patience, because I don't, what, allowing?
Allowing, yeah.
Yeah. It's so important. And I don't want to wait. I want it now.
Yeah. And what if, Hillary, what if engaging in the practice allows you to have it now? Like, this, we get to play with possibility. We get to open up new realms with our creative, you know, imagination, which is a precursor to things appearing in our lives, right?
Say that again.
Opening our imagination to
our
visions and to possibilities. Like, that is a precursor to it appearing in our lives. And we wouldn't really have that in become apparent to us if it weren't already something that was deep inside of us that we really have a connection to, that is waiting to be expressed, I believe.
No, but opening, mm-hmm. I think opening.
And
in a hurry, and I'm like this.
Right.
If I'm not following the fun, as I was told, I wouldn't be able to open the imagination because I'm in a hurry.
Right.
To get where? I don't know, but that's where I've been. You know what I mean? So your whole thing is letting it, well, you can't see my hands, but letting it appear.
Yes, exactly. You can exhale now.
Yes. Thank you. Wow.
Yes.
All right. So we have a minute and a half.
Okay.
To wrap up. I know people can find you at lindarush.com. It'll be in the notes. It'll be right under there. So what else, like, what's your message? What do you hope? I know you said the ripple of love. So I have that someplace. What else would you love to see in the next, like, 5 years, let's say?
Thanks for asking. Because I think that start, there's iterations that sort of come. The ripple of love. I mean, I really think, as I know you believe, that when we are expressing who we are, being true to ourselves, and we're expressing it, that ripple of love creates, you know, it kind of sparks other people and create more openings for us to create peace in the world, because we're connected and we're clear and we're calm and we have a degree of certainty and confidence and clarity and all the things that just, you know, it's not something we can manufacture or think into existence. It's something that we connect to through creating that opening and that space. And my vision is that people are finding that and opening to it and finding their way and making their own passionate, purposeful, powerful, prosperous impact in the world.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you
for sharing your process with us. And just I hope the Linda Roche method catches wildfire, like wildfire, and spreads all over.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
You know, when I was talking about the expressing and how other people were also, I heard an African, I think it's a proverb. It's like, it's easy for one candle to light another. And you were talking about the wildfire. So I think when each of us does it, I'm getting goosebumps now, right? When we get connected and it sparks that I'll say divinity in us. It's like, it sparks others. And we are inspired to do it as well, to be it.
Mm-hmm. The light.
The light.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hillary.
This is great. Thank you for watching this episode. I started getting real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.